Welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, here live on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You have the opportunity to download free app called TuneIn. Now, the name of the app is called TuneIn. On any electronic device, cell phone, iPhone, laptops, or computers, and search WWGH. We would so much like for you to take advantage of the many talk show programs we have to offer you here on 107.1 FM radio. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company, with 27 years of experience working for you. They are located in LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-262-0939. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson. Location, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Last but not least, Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. My hat is off to those who have faithfully supported A Voice of a People. And, you know, many of them have been supporting this program for five years plus. And if anyone else would like to be a supporter of A Voice of a People, please call 740-383-9944. And not only will you use that number for that, this also, if you have any questions while I am on the air, from 4:15 until top of the hour at 5 p.m., please call 740-383-9944 if you would like to make comments or have any questions. I like to start my show off with a thought for today. It's titled, Changing Times. And many of you know that we are in the midst of changing times. It is wise to bend rather than to break. I'm sure many of you can agree with that. Bending instead of breaking. Those who change will get spiritual wisdom. Now, do you agree with me that we could use some spiritual wisdom in our land today and what we are all witnessing and being a part of? And I hear everyone say we're all in this together, but some people think that we're not. It depends on what classification you're placed in this world. But we all are in this together, no matter what we look like, no matter how much we weigh, tall, skinny, short, fat, black, white, green, blue. Doesn't matter. We're all in this together. We all are being affected by the coronavirus. I title it The Age of Coronavirus, and I will be talking about that. Okay, now let me finish my thought. The last sentence was, those who change will get spiritual wisdom. I know I need it. Conversely, those who have wisdom will decide to change. Oh, I can say a lot about that line. I know there are a lot of people who won't even put a mask on. Not only are they putting themselves in jeopardy, but everyone around them. Change is the first law of nature. We have seasons that change all year round. Four specific seasons. I think we're coming out of spring, going into summer. The trees are budding and they're beautiful, all different colors. And that's a change. You know, change is good. It's hard, but it's necessary, okay? In fact, change is the mark of time. Now, we people, we change all the time. The only one or entity that does not change, and that's God himself. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. But we change all the time. We change our mind. We change our clothes. Some of us even change our hair color. We change the way we speak. Some of us wear flat shoes. Some of us put on high heels off and on. We are the agents of change, people. And the things that we deal with in this land and on this earth. Now, I'm talking about today, the age of coronavirus, and where have we fallen? I'm specifically talking to the church. I had one of my co-anchor persons here ask me one day why people call themselves Christians and they're on Facebook, three shades in the wind with a bottle up to their mouth and maybe obscene language, but I'm a Christian. And, you know, for someone who may not be a believer and finding it hard to, like they say, drink the Kool-Aid or become a believer because we have so many people faking. You ever heard the saying, fake the funk? We have so many people faking because being a Christian is different. For the Bible says in, I think it's 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. All those old things we used to do, we should not be doing those anymore. Now, our first job as being a Christian is help to bring other people into the fold. Help encourage them to come and be believers with us as we believe in Christ and compel others to come in. Because you know what? There is a change coming, and it's coming fast. And you know, you hear people saying, oh, are we in the last days? Well, you know what? We're closer to the end than we were yesterday. There are some things that, according to the Bible, that need to happen, but not many. So we are very close. And yes, I believe this is a wake-up call for the church. God is not only shaking America, he's shaking the whole world. We're not in this alone, like you say. And it's not just us in America. 184 countries throughout the world are being affected by the coronavirus. But did you notice the United States have more cases than any other country in the world? More cases. We even surmounted China and Italy and all those. Why? Because we live in the home of the free and the land of the brave, and we have rights over here. We have a right to commit suicide. We have a right to hurt our neighbors. We have the right to do that. I will not comply. I saw all those things all over the news. I will not comply. Okay, well, you don't have to. And we understand that we live in the land of the free and the home of the brave, and we have our certain rights here in this country. Well, I understand that. I live here too. But you don't have the right to kill me. I haven't given you permission to do that. And I think that we should be more careful about how we conduct ourselves during the age of coronavirus. How long would this last? They say 18 months, 2 years. Here we go. So what are we going to do? Are we going to change or make some changes in our life? Or are we just going to continue as usual? That can be more deadful than you could ever imagine. Not just about the virus, but what is going on spiritually. And as that thought for today was, now I didn't get this thought out the Bible. I didn't even get this thought for today off any specific spiritual wisdom for today. Okay? And I had no idea what my thought for today was until about 10 minutes ago. Changing times. This is where we are. It is wise to bend rather than to break. Wouldn't you rather bend and be more cooperative right now than to break? yourself or someone else. Those who change will get spiritual wisdom. Don't we need spiritual wisdom? I know I do. Let me speak for myself right now. I need spiritual wisdom, okay? Now, let me go back to this thought. Where have we fallen? The church. And back to the statement that was made to me. Why those people who say they're Christians conduct themselves in such a manner? Okay. Christians need to be the first to repent. And maybe you're saying, from what? What do I need to repent for? I go to church on Sundays, maybe before the coronavirus. I went to my Bible studies. I also help people at church. I give to the missions. You know, I pay my tithes and my offerings. You know, I will not miss a church service for nothing. I even go to church when I'm sick, which you shouldn't do, because there are other people around you who can catch your cold or flu or whatever, you know, you may be carrying that could be contagious, you know, to other people. You should never go anywhere sick except to the doctor and back home till you get yourself together. But there's just so many things that we need to repent from as Christians. I'm a believer in Christ Jesus. And people say, well, what is the church? A church is a body of baptized believers in Christ Jesus. That's what the church is supposed to be. But get this. You are the church. The church is in you. That is the mystery of the church, that Christ lives in you, your hope of glory. Who is he in you and who are you in him? Well, in him, we must walk different, talk different, carry ourselves different. There should be a certain air about us, confidence that people can see. People love to see confidence in other people. If a person is confident, hey, you've already gone like 50% ahead, because people like confident people. You know, people like people that, okay, I'm a Christian and, well, I'm a believer in Christ Jesus and I'm not ashamed. Now, people can respect that. But first and foremost, you want them to respect you and your belief. If that's really your belief, you want people to respect that. In these last and evil days, the last of the last days, this is the time of harvest. This is the time of repentance. This is the time of turning away from your evil ways, my evil ways, and turn toward Christ and let people see our light, because we are the light of the world. But what kind of light are you shining? A red light? You know, that used to represent the red light district back in the day. What kind of light are you shining? A blue light? Or are you hiding your light under a bush while you do the other things that you want to do, which is maybe ugly, which may be evil, which may be sinful, which may be some of the things people see and it deters them not to even want to be a Christian? So let us rethink some things. Okay, number one, we as Christians need to repent from apathy. Now, I'm going to look up that word, so I might have to come back to that one. Sorry, okay? But that was number one on the list. Number two is complacency. You know, we can get so complacent, and it's just not being a believer, but we can be complacent in our lifestyle. We can't accept anything new in, and we're not giving out anything new. You know, we're just stuck. We're just sitting here. We're the same people. We do the same thing. We are routinely in a routine. And a routine is boring. Not only do we may bore ourselves and other people, but we may be even boring the Lord, our Christ, Jesus, our God. Is there anything new about you or exciting? Well, God is exciting because you know what? Even though he changes not, he is mysterious to us, and can none of us put him in a box and say he is this and he is that and he won't do this and he won't do that. He won't go here and he won't go there. We cannot say that because we do not know him like that. We just know that he changes not from who he is, who his character says that he is. And it, you know, when you look at the attributes of God and you go down the your dictionary in your Bible or your commentary, there are hundreds of names for God. Hundreds of names. And each one represents a different part of him. How he may act or how he may take care of this situation, just like the flood. Okay? Just like Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed those places, but differently. But he's the same God. He's the same God. Now I'm going to go back to apathy. Apathy means lack of interest, lack of enthusiasm, or concern. We as Christians should be interested in what's going on in the world today. And our fellow brothers and sisters, whether they are in Christ, saved or not. Our job is to bring as many people into the kingdom as we possibly can during our lifetime. Enthusiasm. It's like I was saying, complacency. I like to be enthusiastic. You know, when I go to church, I like to clap my hands. I like to stand up on my feet. I like to say hallelujah, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I like to do those things. It generates excitement even in me. You know, and sometimes if you're around somebody who does that or it helps encourage you even the more, you know, because our God is not quiet. Look at the world and look at his creation, which is man and women, but mankind. We're not all the same. We're not even all the same colors. We don't have the same amount of money. We don't all live in the same area. He likes to mix things up. We don't have the same color flowers. We don't have the same color trees. They're not all the same height or width or flowers. And they are so beautiful right now. And rose bushes. Come on now. He also is enthusiastic about you and about me and what his plan is for you. Even though we live in right now in the age of coronavirus, he still has a plan. Are you concerned what's going on? Are you concerned about our children going back to school or your children going back to school? What they're going to face when they go back? Your neighbors? Are you concerned about your neighbors? Are you doing all you can as a Christian, as a believer in Christ Jesus? Do you look out for your brother as well as your sister? Are you concerned about the world and what's going on right now? Are you concerned that Christ is even coming back? Are you even letting people know that he said he would return? That he ascended up in heaven as after he was raised from the dead and walked the earth for 40 days. And he ascended up to heaven, and the angels that were there with the apostles or disciples told them the same Jesus that you see ascending will come back in like manner. He's coming back. That's where we are now. He's coming back. That's part of the gospel. He's coming back. Believe it or not, are you ready to meet your Maker? And when he does come back, what will he find you doing as a Christian? Okay? Now, number three on the list is compromises with darkness. Now, if you're a Christian, you have no business compromising with darkness. You should not be looking to see what your, I'm sorry, you should not be looking to see what your horoscope is for today. That is from darkness. familiar spirits who know you to a certain extent, who watch you and follow you and know what you like, know what you don't like. Familiar spirits, they can only see so far into the future. But they can see some things. And they already know some of the things you've been through. And you, as a believer in Christ Jesus, have no business compromising with darkness. For God I live, or for God I die. God says, look straight ahead. Do not look to the light or to the right or to the left, but keep your focus straight. And I know sometimes that's hard, and we do need his help to live for him and keep our focus straight. Okay? Because when we look to the left or look to the right, then we get knocked off center. And there's always something over there to look at. They may take your attention away from where you should be and what you should be doing. But do not compromise with darkness. Ouija boards, scary movies, anything that deals with the occult, voodoo, diviners, acrimonies, acrimercy, or whatever they call those type of people, which I don't know what they do, but I know it's a form of darkness, and Christians should not compromise. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. But God says, you know, I create evil also. You know? So, just like he destroyed the world with water, God gets upset. Don't you get upset? Don't you get angry sometime? He gets angry. If he made man in his image and in his likeness, there's a lot of similarities. He came here to this earth as a man. He laughed, he cried, he ate, he slept, he lived as a man. So, if he could live without compromising in darkness, then we can live without compromising with darkness. Because, see, you can't have it both ways. Being a Christian, being a believer in Christ Jesus, and walking the walk, talking the talk, you cannot have it both ways. Not only do you have other people looking at you, your God is looking at you. Your Maker is looking at you. The one who has commissioned you to go to the hedges and the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Encourage them. Beg them to come in. God wishes that none would be lost. None. Omissions. Let's see what omissions mean. I'll look that up and then we'll get down to serving other gods. Now, who is your God other than the one true and living God? Have we made gods out of people? Out of other things that we should not be making gods out of? And this computer that we carry around in our hands, our telephones, oh my, my, my. Sometimes when I get home and I get on Facebook and I just scroll and 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 scroll, when I could be reading my Bible, when I could be praying, when I could be checking on my neighbors to see if everyone is okay, checking on my loved ones, see if everything is okay with them, or is there anything I could do for them, or if they, you know, I'm trying to look up this word omissions. I may have spelled it wrong, but I think they can fast check stuff. Yes. Omission is a failure to act. Woo! Which generally attracts. Legal confrontations. I think that's what that word says. Okay. Omission is a failure to act when generally attracts different legal consequences from positive conduct. In the criminal law, an omission will constitute and give rise to liability only when the law imposes a duty to act and the defendant is a breach of that duty In tort law, similarly, liability will be imposed for an omission only exceptionally when it can be established that the defendant was under a duty to act, a failure to act. Okay, so we as Christians omit to act. It's a failure to act. So we should not be a failure to act. You know, and like I was saying when I opened up the show, that I go to church Sunday service. The church I used to go to years ago, they had Sunday school service. They had regular service. They had YPWW. This is all on Sunday. Then at night they had church. Church all day. All day on Sunday. And we went there. We went there. And then on Tuesday night they would have church again. Then on Friday they would have church again. Some people I've heard, when they were younger, they went to church every day. But why would you go to church, pay your tithes and offerings, do all those things, and you're not even a believer? You don't even believe in Christ. You're just there going through the motions, stealing the blessings from those who are around you who do believe and get all those blessings, and all those blessings fall on you because you're in there and you're going through the motions. And I did not ever want to think that that was true, but that is true. There are people going through the motions. So omissions is a failure to act on things we should be acting on. And that is going out into the hedges and the byways and compelling people to come in and living a faith-filled life. Not depending on what I can do, but what He has done. People don't want to see my works. They want to see the works of Him that came from heaven to the earth. They want to see His works in me, not what I can do. Because I have the activity of my limbs and I can speak and, you know, I'm on the radio. But that's because of Him also, okay? Now, serving other gods, let us go back to that. And I did bring up the cell phone. We have laptops, we have computers, we have other relationships. We have things and people that we esteem more than God. It can be your husband. It can be your child. It could be your child's sports, or it could be even your workout regimen. It can even be that. That means more to me than getting up in the morning and even saying, "Thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning, starting me on my way, clothing in my right mind, a mind to serve you. Thank you, God." Oh, I got to get up, make my coffee, get my shower and all those things. And I got to get off to the gym. I got to go running. As a woman, I'm saying that because I've done that before. But I've learned this. The more I put Christ in the background, or my devotion to Him, which used to be, I didn't think it was ritualistic, but I did it faithfully in the mornings. Start out my day, and it, you know, I could go through the day so much better. Okay, so if you're up in the morning and you have all these other things on your mind, then you really don't have time for Him. And when you do get back to Him, you're rushing. Oh, wow, I forgot my devotion this morning. Now it's time to, what, get dinner on or get my shower or whatever and put on my clothes for the day. Well, my husband, he'll be home in a couple hours. I need to get dinner. And one thing leads to another thing, and you still do not get a chance to get that devotion in. Will God kill us for that? No. He won't kill us for that. But it's just another way to be closer to Him and feel like He's right there. Because eventually, if you keep doing that, you'll wonder, well, what happened? What happened to the Lord? Where's he at? I don't feel him like I used to. And you fill a void in your life because you have neglected that relationship that you had. So serving other gods can be anything or anybody, even an activity that we do, that we spend more time with than the Lord. He misses us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants us to talk to him, and he wants to talk to us, whether it's through his word, which is the Bible, or just know that, you know, we're thinking about him. A lot of times we don't understand him as a person. We look at him more as a God, like he doesn't need anything. But he loves his creation. He loves what he made in his image and in his likeness. And he wants to be close to us. I mean, yes, he blesses us. He reigns on the just and the unjust. He blesses the just and the unjust. You know, he doesn't hold that back. Gifts come without repentance. It doesn't mean you have to serve him to be blessed by him. We don't. Okay? But he would love to be able to be closer to his people. Okay? Secret sins. These are some of the things I'm talking about right now. Some of the things Christians need to be the first to repent from. Secret sins. Things we do in the secret. Things we think no one else knows about. Those things that we hide. Those things that we are embarrassed for other people to know about. You can't hide from God. He sees them all. And why would he be upset about secret sins that no one else really knows about? Well, they must be the kind of sins that we don't want nobody to know about. Yeah, you may tell a lie every now and then. You may even pick up something and not pay for it every now and then. Sometimes you realize it and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you forget and get out in the car like, oh, wow, I didn't pay for that. It's not in the bag. You know, sometimes we can be mean to other people and flip them off and things like that. That's not a secret sin. That's a sin that people see. Okay? And I should not have to name what secret sins are. Let us try not to be guilty of them. Because they must not be very nice. It's not something that I think God would be proud of. We're not even proud of it. We're not proud of that. Even if, as being a believer, and I'm on the horoscope every day, mapping out my life, seeing what they say my life is going to be, who I'm going to marry, where I'm going to live, am I going to hit the lottery, am I going to be rich one day, you know, oh, who's going to be my husband, who's going to be my wife? As a believer in Christ Jesus, I should not want anyone to know that about me, that I'm depending on the occult, the things of darkness, to live my life other than Christ, depending on him and what he says. Right? So I'm going to look up secret sins, and maybe I can say some of these over the air. Maybe I can't. It gives me like some verses, and it starts with there is no such thing as hidden sin. Trying to hide sin from God is like running from your shadow, and you can never get away. You can't run away from God because he knows everything. Your family, your friends might not know about your secret sin, but God knows. All the skeletons in your closet should be confessed. God wants us to be honest with him. Share with him what we are struggling with. He said a broken and contrite spirit he will in no wise cast out. confess. Oh, I'm a drunk. I'm a drug addict. Help me. I need your help, Lord. Confess. Because your unconfessed sin can block you from God, can block you from being saved. Not only that, you feel bad about it. And you're walking around not being yourself and not being honest. Okay. It says, be happy God knows all your sins, because that's a reminder he is always with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5b. And remember this, if you hide your sins, you will not succeed. Confess them and reject them, and you will receive mercy. That's from the Lord, and that is Proverbs 28:13. So we don't want to be the type of believers in Christ Jesus who live with secret sins. Get them off you. Come out of the darkness. That's another thing. You are the light of the world. Come out of darkness. Secret sins keep you in darkness. And we are the light of the world, and we want to shine. We want to shine for Christ Jesus. We want to shine for Yeshua. We want to shine and not be ashamed and not be afraid. Withholding of life. Now, what does that mean? Well, I have to go back to here. But I'm going to move to the next one. The failure to fulfill your call. And I have said many times, many of you have been called, but you will not answer the call. So if you don't answer the call, then you can't fulfill the call that's on your life. You may be called to pick up where your mother left off, where your father left off in the faith, and you won't answer the call. So therefore, you can't do what maybe the Lord has called you to do. And it's your purpose. A lot of times it is our purpose, and we can't find our purpose because we won't do what the Lord has asked us to do. Well, what am I here for? You're here to complement your parents, because they went before you. They made that crooked place straight. They prayed for you. They prayed for you. And if they prayed for you, they believed that you would come to be a believer before you leave this earth, before you leave this world. And sometimes there's a nagging, there's a yearning in your heart that you just can't dismiss. And you're like, well, what is this pulling on me? What is this tagging on me? The Lord is calling you to come, to believe in him, to live your life in him, to depend on him, to rely on him, because he has a work for you, he has a future for you, according to Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans, only I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. I have devised them, so only I know, a plan of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You know, when you're doing what the Lord has asked you to do, you feel a whole lot better about yourself. And you get to a point where you don't really care whether people like you or not, especially those that you had to leave behind and had to go on, you know. So I had a good time with my baby girl yesterday, and I just felt led to minister to her, and we did a little Bible study. I prayed over her and anointed her with oil because she doesn't live here. And she said, thank you. She said, thank you, Mom, for that. She said, I feel so much better. We just don't know what people are going through, whether they are our family or someone else. Okay? We don't know. Now, this says withholding of life. And it talks about the withdrawal of life support. I don't know how else to explain that. I didn't really get the specifics about that as far as saying it's one of the things we as Christians need to be first to repent from. And only thing I can think of on my own, and it may not be right, but it may be. If you don't share the gospel with people who are not saved, they could end up going to the wrong place or to that place of pain and suffering in total separation from God forever, in a terrible place of pain and suffering forever. And you would be, see, you have the message, you have the gift of life in your mouth and your tongue. And people need to know that when they leave this world, that they have another expectations of going to where Christ is and not to where the evil one is. Because there's only life and death, and there's two places to go. Either you're going to be with Christ forever, or you're going to be in that terrible place of pain and suffering forever. So when you leave, when you die, your fate is sealed already. So let us offer you life if you believe in the Lord Jesus with all your heart, that he came from heaven and walked this land. He lived. He died. He was buried in the ground for 3 days. And on the third day, he rose. He was resurrected from the dead. We just celebrated that. He walked this earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And then he ascended up to heaven. He went back to where he came from. But he said, I'll be back. I'm coming back to receive you unto myself. And that's where the disconnect is. Christ is coming back. But if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. Okay, number seven was withholding of life. Number eight was the failure to fulfill your call, whatever that may be. Number nine is to be the light of the world, which we already talked about. Number 10, and if there is a turning, God wants his people who are called by his name to humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways. Seek heaven, pray, ask God, seek God's face. He said, you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. That's putting all else aside. Lord, I want you. I want to know that you are real. I want to know that what I've been hearing is true. Are you the true and living God? Are you for real, Lord? I need to know for myself. Seek him with your whole heart. Oh, he'll show up. He will show up. And you'll say, oh my, I don't believe this happened to me. But he will show up. Now, you are also the salt of the earth. And it says that when the salt has lost its flavor or savor, that it's no good for nothing but to be cast out. Now, we as Christians, I don't want to be cast out. That doesn't sound good to me at all. Okay? I do not want to be cast out. I do not want to be lost in this whirlwind of evil. And I don't want to be lost. You know, I didn't come this way to be lost. I want to stand for Christ. I want to be that person that he has called me to be. I want to be that, the best that I can with his help. And like we were saying, yes, there's a shaking going on. It's a shaking going on all over the world, not just in the United States, not just in the church. But you know what? Judgment starts in the house of God. It starts with the Christians, because we are the ones supposed to be paving the way. We are the ones supposed to be praying for the rest of the world. And if we have lost our savior or our flavoring, then we're no good. We are no good. And we do need to repent first. We need to be the ones who repent first. We do need to be the ones that turn around. That when someone sees us from where we used to be and see us again, boy, wow, I didn't even recognize you. Boy, have you changed. You don't even act the same. Matter of fact, you don't even look the same. That's what we need. as being believers. That's what we need. That's the testimony we need to have out there. Okay? Now, the world is in decay. It's falling. Every system a man has set up is falling. Now, they're trying desperately to hold on to it because they don't want to lose it. One of the greatest economies in the world, our president says, and it just wiped out in a day, just gone. And this is an election year. And what do they say when the election comes? It's about the economy, stupid. And look at what has happened. And he's trying everything he can to hold things in a position where we don't lose it all. But that's where we are. And believe it or not, we are out of time. But I thank you for listening. I hope that I was able to say something to encourage you. I'm encouraged myself from some of the things that I said and some of the things that the Lord have laid on my heart. I am your host, and not only that, I was your guest today, Linda Sims, on The Voice of a People here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully you can share some of this good information with someone you know. And if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, help bring someone into the kingdom. That is your call. That is your duty as a believer in Christ Jesus. Okay? So, till next time, be blessed. Keep your head up. All right? All right. God is good all the time.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk.
When we're joined...